January 18, 2010, and I am longing for July already. Is it almost summer yet?
No, it will be a while yet. Summer doesn't usually come to Indianapolis till about the middle of June.
I'd like some heat.
I'd be happy with Shine on Harvest Moon. Why is that song in my head? I don't know. Were you singing that earlier?
No, at least it's not Led Zeppelin.
What were you singing earlier? Because we're going to be talking about music on this show, so it's appropriate to start
let's
that
see.
Way.
What song you want to hear?
I need something mellow and something happy, though.
Something
mellow but happy.
And happy.
Yeah, not sad. I don't want blues. I just want...
You want blues.
No, but I'm not really in the rock mode right now.
You're not in the rock mode.
Which is unusual. I just want something melodic,
yeah.
Mellow, and happy.
Melodic,
mellow, and happy. What do you got?
Happy.
That giant repertoire of yours, you got to have something for me.
Melodic,
yes.
Mellow, and happy.
Yeah.
Let me think about
this. You think about it.
Let's see. Hey, hey, mama said the way. No, not
hey,
that
hey,
one.
Mama said the way
not,
you move.
That's not melodic.
You.
Yeah, it's not. That. It's not happy, and it's not talented. I can't.
It's happy. That's happy.
Well, we sang our happy song on our 100th show.
Yeah, we did.
Last
if you
week.
Missed that, folks, you got to go back to
that. Was melodic, mellow, and happy.
Yeah, that was a show on January 8th. We sang. What did we sing?
We sang A Wink and a Smile.
Yeah, a lot of people commented on that, and
yeah.
they wanted more. Yeah. But we leave our audience wanting more. We're not going to give that to you every time because
okay.
we will spoil you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, for those who are coming in new, we have been reviewing a letter that we received, a rare criticism of our sterling teaching, delivered to us by none other than the mailbag, who is an ordinary woman of 103 years.
And she's hot.
And she's got nice legs, very shapely, not so much on top anymore, but, you know, that happens. Cranky, hates Sheridan, so she's not all bad. She has this gift of discernment. And she laid this letter on us in quite a happy fashion because she knew it was slamming us. And we've been, it's a great opportunity for teaching, and we don't want to waste these letters. We thank you for criticizing us because while we are not immune to it, and we're not always right, but we've heard these arguments 101 times.
102,
counting this letter.
Thousand.
Yeah, 102,000. So it's a great opportunity to teach because we think you've heard these arguments too, especially just a quick wrap-up, Dan. 1 Corinthians 6:9, we talked about those who practice these sins, the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals. Do we cover homosexuality? There's a group out there that says God hates homosexuals. I'm using the politically correct term there. And that is simply not true. It is in a list of sins that includes greedy people. And so if you're greedy, you're in the same boat as homosexuality.
Yeah.
God loves all sinners. Christ came to die for our sins. Now, we don't advocate sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, do not be sinning. And yet we also believe that in Romans 5:20, where sin increases, grace super exceeds.
That's
you're
right.
Not going to sin your way out of salvation. It is impossible. But, Martin, you're telling me that I go out and kill somebody and I'm still saved? You're finally getting the hang of it. That's correct.
Sorry,
are you writing that down in your mind? That was
I'm just
that
writing,
was a,
I'm just writing
statement.
Note in my Bible here until we get going.
Okay, I thought you were... It was so epic of a statement I just made. People do say that to me. You mean I can go out and rob and steal and kill and still be saved? Yes! Yes, 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 you can. That's 1 Timothy 2:9. 2 Timothy 1:9, sorry. We're called not in accord with our acts. If you're telling me that you think you can sin your way out of this, then you're telling me that you are saved in accord with your acts. That you can sin your way out of it. That your act is stronger than Christ's blood. Do you realize what you're saying? Your sin is stronger than Christ's blood. Are you sure you want to say that?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Who was the worst sinner ever?
Jimmy Page,
Christ,
Robert
Jesus.
Plant.
Yeah, well, that in the musical realm, definitely. But Apostle Paul said, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, not good people. And these guys love to classify the sins. Well, you know, there's a whole ministry dedicated out there to condemn homosexuals to hell. And they are covetous, railers, themselves, and they're listed in the same sense as the homosexual person. And the whole point here is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me repeat that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, who's being justified? Those who sinned and fall short of the glory of God are being justified freely, gratuitously, in His grace through the deliverance of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We cannot stress this enough. If salvation is by works, then Christ died for nothing. He bled on that cross. He suffered on that cross for nothing if you and I can earn it. Paul tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Let me repeat that. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is not an issue today. 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 Do you get it yet? God has been reconciled to the world. The issue today is Jesus Christ. The good news is that God was in Christ reconciling or conciliating the world unto Himself by Jesus Christ, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Sin does not keep us from God, dear friends. Christ died for our sins.
This man who wrote the letter to us, who we dubbed Pistol Pete, obviously not his real name, he brings us back to Deuteronomy for
Deuteronomy.
Some strange reason. You might as well go back to Genesis and say and tell us how Noah built an ark and that we should go and do likewise. In Deuteronomy, Moses reads to the people all the good things God will give them if they obey and the bad things He'll do to them if they disobey. Well, that
Which
was,
happened.
Yeah, that happened. It had nothing to do with eternal torment, as we said last week, but yet we don't ignore any of these verses of Scripture, but this was a different administration, and today God is dealing with us in accord with grace. Now, the verse we mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 says, all is lawful, but not all is expedient.
Yeah.
It's not good for two men to practice homosexuality. It's not ideal.
And it's a sin. Let's admit it.
And it's a sin. It's a sin.
It's a sin.
So is greed.
We're not making light of sin
We're not making light of sin. We're just saying that God is not... You're not going to lose your salvation because of sin.
Nor does it prevent you from getting saved.
Nor does it prevent you from getting saved because Christ saves sinners, not people who reform themselves.
Yeah.
Just don't... Just, you know...
Well,
if,
let's
if
just
you have,
repeat it, Sender. Sin,
sin
is not,
no, not
an issue.
No, it's not
Can
an
we
issue.
Repeat that together? Sin is not an issue. Again, sin is not an issue. Go ahead.
So you say. It's
no,
true.
I don't say that
I know the Scripture says it. As far as not being expedient, you know, sin brings us all to Christ. There's some crisis in our life, and usually it has to do with failure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you fail, that's when you're a second away from Christ. You're closer to Him when you're on your knees, when you're on your face before Him. You are closer to truth. You're closer to the arms of Christ than in your self-sufficiency. And so that's why our sins are justified. You know what it means to be justified? Justified means to be declared right. And if your sin is bringing you to Christ, then it's right. You couldn't have survived without it. You couldn't have found Christ without it. Well, that's a pretty surprising statement to hear. Sin is a necessary ingredient in salvation.
Yes.
And as we've often said, our part of the gospel is being sinners. His part is being a savior. Someone came up to me, Martin, my daughter's a terrible sinner. Terrible news. Well, I got good news. Christ is a savior, so we got a good thing going here. That's your part of it. Now, God could, as a person walks, deliver people from these sins. Paul says, you were once one of these. He can, obviously, deliver people from lust, adultery, homosexuality, greed, all those. But sometimes he flat out doesn't do it. Yet we're told today.
Prove it. You want to know the proof?
Yeah.
Because people keep doing it. Even the best of them.
We've never been presented with a sinless person.
No.
We'll have them on the air. If you think that you're sinless, if you have attained to a sinless life, if you don't have any greed in you or any taint of immorality at all, you just come cast the first stone at Sheridan.
Here's the idea. Here it is. If people want to prove us wrong, all they have to do is call us and say, I am saved and now I am sinlessly perfect. We will put you on the radio.
We will, because we want to hear how you do it.
Okay. Want to hear how you do it.
And we're going to test you. We're going to test you, too.
We are going to test you.
We have a series of tests for people who claim they don't sin anymore.
Hold on. Excuse me.
It's a lot of fun.
L.A. Laker cheerleader girls? Not yet. We'll call you later.
No, the L.A. cheerleaders. We're going to bring them in for a sin experiment. But,
exactly.
They thought it was now, but we're not doing that yet. Okay. So, no problem.
No.
No, but I think sin experiments are being conducted inadvertently. People don't plan on it. They just do it. Some people are not delivered.
Yeah.
You know, my belief on this, and it's a scriptural belief, that we have this treasure. I think this is 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's purpose. We're purposely placed in earthen vessels so that we will know. The same reason Abraham could not tried to produce a child in the flesh. He found out that the flesh was not able to produce the promised seed. And God is able to do it. So he uses our sins to humiliate us, and it works. However, if you're a homosexual man, try not to put that in there if you can help it. I know you have tendencies.
Yeah.
But don't just... You know, they say that alcoholics, you know, have a tendency. They're always alcoholics. And you might crave a drink. It's great if you don't drink. You can't condemn yourself for having those tendencies.
Yeah.
But if you can refrain, and if God gives you peace and gives you the power, then by all means, refrain. But I don't think people are going to even turn to God or like God if they think that he is a second away from condemning them when they take that first sip of alcohol. Yeah.
Now, we're not denying that Paul teaches that this is the will of God, even our sanctification, that we abstain from fornication, etc., etc. We believe every word of that. The problem with the man who's writing this letter, he thinks that when a believer does these things, he's not really a believer. That is what we stand against.
That is a lie.
That is what we stand against.
I'm glad
against.
You brought that up.
We are, and for most of you who listen to us, we'll probably get into these passages another time. What we're trying to do is we agree, we want every, if you're a homosexual, my encouragement to you is stop doing it. Do whatever you have to. Cry out to God. Read the scripture. See what it says about you. Do everything that's possible to get out of that lifestyle. Are you an alcoholic? Do everything you can to stop drinking. It's bad for you. Are you a sexually illicit person? Repent of that. Get out of there and cry out to God for help. We're not denying that. But what we're saying is that none of these things can ever take you out of Christ. It was those very sins that drove you to him in the first place.
Right.
So are you saying that the sins that drive you to Christ are the same things that drive you away from him?
Good point.
Give me a break. We must distinguish between these things. That's why we always say there's a difference between justification and practical sanctification.
And on that happy note,
yes.
We have to deal with the music. Can you believe that this music you're listening to right now, Pistol Pete thinks that this is
evil
music.
It's not as bad as Led Zeppelin.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, yeah, we tried to get Led Zeppelin, but it was a copyright issue. If you missed this show, you can catch it on martinzender.com.
Or go to crossandthrone.com and buy some books.
And by the grace of God, Dan Sheridan and I will see you here again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Good night.